This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, February 25th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning across our nation on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. We continue with the developing story that has captured the attention of the entire world. Russian ground forces are now near Kyiv this morning with explosions devastating the Ukrainian capital. I want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, after a second night of war, what is going on this morning? What's the latest with the Russian invasion of Ukraine?
Well, as many refugees try to flee, hundreds of thousands perhaps out of their homes and looking for the relative safety of the West, although the western part of Ukraine being hit by Russian shelling as well. Pope Francis met with Moscow's ambassador at the Vatican today to express his concerns. Vatican spokesperson said the Pope wanted to express his concern about the war in Ukraine and met for over an hour and a half with the Russian ambassador to the Vatican. The visit considered to be an unusual occurrence, not keeping with normal protocol. Talked about refugees, many women and children. All the men between 18 and 60 in Ukraine have been precluded from leaving the country and are being encouraged to be armed and provide resistance along with the Ukrainian army as Russia continues its invasion.
Glenn, as we talked about with Monsignor Swetlin last hour, the Holy Father is also calling for a day of prayer and fasting next Wednesday on Ash Wednesday. But we need to start now if we haven't begun already. We need lots of prayers for this very grave situation that's going on.
Amen to that, John. Absolutely.
One other note, Ukrainian President Zelensky reported that 137 Ukrainians have been killed and over 300 injured in day one in this Russian invasion. But you can never underestimate the will and the resiliency of these people, of this nation.
Yeah, they've been through a lot historically. Of course, a couple generations already ago now, they had to deal with the Nazis and Red Army during World War II. And again, just noting with almost disbelief that the last time the capital was shelled was 1941, when the Nazis were taking over for a few years Ukraine. And again, it's just hard for many to believe they're seeing the bombs falling, but that we're actually doing this in Europe in 2022.
As it's being described as a great war crime, the situation that's going on there in Ukraine. Glenn, as always, thanks so much. And obviously, you'll keep us up to date if anything breaks here during this hour.
Hey, sure thing, John.
Thanks so much. On Fridays, we always, always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to invoke the Prince of Peace. We begin every hour here on the show in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, and also we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia in Eastern Europe. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us, and we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. Queen of Peace, our Blessed Mother, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Hebrews 13:8, very appropriate for today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ promised before he ascended into heaven that he would be with us always. Jesus is always present to us now and forever. He has no reason to change because he is God in the flesh. He cannot change. Even though we live in a world that is always changing and eventually will pass away, the Word made flesh, Jesus the Lord, will never change. He's with us always through the Holy Spirit, and especially in the most holy Eucharist. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, it's been 2 days since Russia launched an all-out attack on Ukraine, including the capital of Kiev. Russia's attack has been widely condemned by the U.S. and its allies, many of whom are imposing sanctions on Moscow. I spoke to Archbishop of Philadelphia of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, Archbishop Boris Gutsiak, about the crisis between Ukraine and Russia earlier this week.
Putin first occupied these areas by leading, you know, a separatist movement and calling it something, you know, independent. And then he recognized the independence. So he kind of made a footprint and then, you know, said, this is going to be something under my control. And the fear is, of course, that he wants to do that with the whole country of Ukraine. And he basically, his statement was a ridiculous distortion of history and a negation of the, you know, human dignity of Ukrainians, basically saying you didn't exist, you don't exist, you're not going to exist, and we're going to use force to subdue you.
And joining us live for a perspective on the Ukrainian people and a message of hope and prayer is Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago, which it's also the shrine of the new martyrs of Ukraine. Good morning, Father Kuzma. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a blessing to be with you, and our prayers are with you and the Ukrainian people.
Good morning, John. Thank you. And may our Lord Jesus Christ truly be with us, with all of your listeners. As the Ukrainians say, glory to Jesus Christ, glory to him forever.
Now and forever. Father Kuzma, what has been your reaction? How has this situation touched your heart and that of the Ukrainian people here in the Chicago area and across our nation of this all-out war on Ukraine by Russia?
Well, first of all, that first night, many of my parishioners told me yesterday we spoke, I myself couldn't sleep all night once I found out that the war began, the invasion began. I personally prayed most of the night. Many of my parishioners are watching Fox or CNN and just trying to absorb what's going on. They spoke to me about fear, anguish, confusion. And at the same time, there's this tremendous, tenacious resolve. The Ukrainian people will never give up. Our metropolitan, whom you mentioned just a little while ago, Boris Gutsiak, said the following: we know and believe that the war will end soon, but it will take a lot of effort and resources to restore everything. So many people believe that. There are people, for example, in their 60s, even one person in the 70s in Ukraine who tried to enlist in the army to do what they can to protect their homeland. Our Ukrainian people are very tenacious. They're going to do everything possible to resist the invasion, the enemies, and protect their homeland. We don't give up, ever.
Monsignor Swetland, who spent several years in the Navy, he was with us in the first hour, described this situation as a great war crime. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, anything contrary to love, anything contrary to peace is a crime in the eyes of God, let me say it from a spiritual point of view. So, you know, God wants, as you know, all of his children, which is all of us in the world, to love one another. This is the Queen of Peace has been telling us for 40 years now, you know, love one another, pray, fast, convert, read scripture every day, pray the rosary, receive communion every day. So the message has been out. Heaven has spoken to us and continues speaking to us, telling us, hey, live together with one another, love one another. So it's a crime, yeah. Anything contrary, in my estimation, to love, where we hurt one another, and especially when we do it knowing conscientiously that we're doing it, is a crime.
Father Kuzma, when you see these images on television, these images of war, and you hear the air raid sirens going off and the Ukrainian people hiding in the subways, what goes through your mind when you realize that this is now real? This war has begun. We've already seen casualties, 137 dead Ukrainians just on day one, and well over 300 plus wounded.
Well, you know, when I was watching some of these clips and so forth, I'm a very emotional man. I cried a lot. I mean, I feel like I cry now because, you know, innocent people are getting destroyed, killed. Little kids are crying in the background. So it's very, very emotional, obviously. At the same time, we know that with Our Lady's help, and she will intervene, she is the Queen of Peace. She's the Queen of Ukraine. We believe, I strongly believe, that the war will come to conclusion. Hopefully in the near future, through her intercession, you know, like a Gideon, for example, with a small army. It's not going to be by worldly means and armies and forces and so forth, but heaven's intercession, heaven's intervention, as occurred, for example, in the Philippines and other places, is what we're counting on. There are people, for example, soldiers, who have stated, there's a priest in Ukraine, in Western Ukraine, who said many of the soldiers are experiencing power from heaven, experiencing the presence of God as they're fighting, their supernatural powers being released somehow to help those who are defending their homeland.
Those are some very powerful images, my goodness. Father Kuzma, do you think that there's anything that could have been done to avoid this conflict?
I strongly believe that. I mean, if we take heaven seriously, as in Fatima, Our Lady spoke in Fatima about the Second World War, if we would do what she asked, what heaven asked, what Jesus asked, what God the Father asks, sure can be prevented. You know, for example, if we pray and fast every day, the laws of nature can be suspended, as Our Lady teaches. Wars can come to an end. If we had been following the messages, in my estimation, for the last 40 years in Our Lady's apparitions in Medjugorje, sure, this could be prevented. But, you know, even within the church, there are many who are not maybe as open as they could be to the supernatural. And unfortunately, leaders even in the church, and I include myself as one of them because we're priests, you know, sometimes we're not willing to make a stand on supernatural occurrences, apparitions, and so forth. But praying and fasting, you know, I could ask you and all the listeners, please pray and fast for Ukraine. Because, you know, prayer and fasting can truly stop the war. Our Lady once said that through prayer and fasting and God's help, we can have a certainty. The one who prays is not afraid of the future. The one who fasts is not afraid of evil. And as I said before, the laws of nature can be suspended. That's what a miracle is. God intervenes. If we pray and fast, we give God what God wants of us. Our Lady and Jesus want our help. Pray and fasting is what we can do, especially now, to give heaven what they ask for to stop this war and what could have been stopped. Human beings, I think, as you know, we don't always do as God wants. You know, even as a Catholic, a very devout Catholic, a lover of the Catholic Church, I sometimes get a little upset why we're so slow in recognizing things. You know, if spiritual leaders can recognize what's happening spiritually or discern well, apparitions and so forth, you know, there's a question in my mind, you know, what are the people supposed to think if we're not sure about these things?
Father Kuzma, I'm so glad that you brought up the apparitions at Fatima of Our Blessed Mother. Our Lady said to the children that war is a punishment for sin. How do we look at these words and put them in perspective of Our Blessed Mother way back in 1917 during the First World War?
Well, war is always a punishment for sin. Great saints like Padre Pio would have said the same thing. We know that sin has inundated the whole world. I mean, let's look at just one grave sin, murder, abortion, or whatnot. This takes place in all countries, including the United States, Ukraine, Russia, everywhere it goes on. So we're asking for trouble to come upon us. We're asking for punishment. We're basically receiving what we sow. That's what's happening, and we need to wake up and stop and live as God wants us to live.
Father Kuzma, there is a large Ukrainian population in the Chicago area. I know there were rallies yesterday outside of a Ukrainian Catholic church. The Ukrainian consulate was on hand. Many people are praying. What have you heard from people as far as their relatives in Ukraine and how things are going over there? Because I'm sure that this is really hitting home, especially for our community here in this country.
Yes, the people here, at least those in my parish who have family in Ukraine, are telling me how fearful they are for them. They are mostly from Western Ukraine, so the damage is not as great there as yet. But many are fleeing. Many are running for their lives, fearful, anxious, worried, not knowing what the future holds. Situation is very, very grave.
Father Kuzma, I wanted to just share with you something that happened to me just yesterday. I ran into an elderly lady who shared with me that her relatives literally live, minutes away from that airport that was bombed there in Ukraine. And so it really touched my heart. My goodness, my eyes welled up when I heard her, just the emotion in her voice talking about her loved ones there in Ukraine. And I'm sure this is being multiplied all over.
Well, I can't imagine what people who are living there are going through. The information we get is they're in tremendous anguish, fear, confusion, not knowing what to do. But again, I'm a person, and I believe we have to be people of resolve and of hope. The teaching, again, of Our Lady has been that with love, you can achieve everything, even what you think is impossible. Our Lady has said, I call you to love towards neighbor, love towards the persons who resent you, through whom evil comes towards you. And if we pray, we can understand and discern more and more the motives of people. So as the situation over there gets worse and worse and worse, those of us who truly are certain about the power of prayer and fasting is what we can do on this side. On the other side, I mean, let me say this about the Ukrainian Catholic Church. From what I've heard, our patriarch, our major archbishop, has said that the church is with the people. They're not leaving. They're staying in the towns and villages or whatnot. So the spiritual leaders are staying with the people. They will be with the people. They will be leading people in prayer. Throughout Ukrainian history, when the Mongols attacked, when there were tremendous natural catastrophes, people naturally gathered in churches and started praying all kinds of prayer services, molebens or whatnot. During the Soviet occupation, you know, the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, which was illegal, stayed alive. How? But many people gathered and prayed the rosary in forests and so forth. The clandestine priests would come into the forest to celebrate the divine liturgy, what you call the Mass, and other services.
Father Kuzma, what are you doing at your parish at Immaculate Conception, Ukrainian Catholic Church there in here in the Chicago area?
Now, yesterday we had a prayer service. The church was more full than it was on a Sunday, and we have three services on Sunday. The Ukrainian community from the northwest suburbs gathered. The consul general from Ukraine and from Lithuania was here as well. We had a prayer service for peace in Ukraine. We pray for the soldiers, obviously. We pray for all the victims of the war. We pray even for our enemies, for the conversion of those who can't see things from God's point of view. The church was open all day. The church is going to be remaining open, and we're going to have services in the morning and the evening constantly for Ukraine and for peace in Ukraine, for an end to this war, for God's intervention in this war. So I invite anybody who would like to come with us in the northwest suburbs, please join us at Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Catholic Church. That rally that was there, I believe that was outside of our church yesterday as well.
The Ukrainian Major Archbishop, in his response to this Russian invasion, simply said, "The Lord is with us." Father Kuzma, can you lead us in a prayer for hope, a prayer invoking the Mother of God?
Yes. Most Holy Mother of God, Queen of Peace, Queen of Ukraine, cover the Ukrainian nation with your mantle of protection. Protect us from all attacks from the evil one. Those he employs in his service. Most Holy Mother of God, we need your help. We know that at the end, a triumph of the Immaculate Heart will occur through your powerful intercession. We ask for St. Michael, who is the patron of Kyiv, to help, to protect, to watch over our capital city. We pray for all who are listening today for the blessings and graces each one of them needs. God's blessings to you, to Relevant Radio, and all that you do, and I thank you very, very much.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Kuzma. The Lord is definitely with you and the Ukrainian people. Thank you for being with us and sharing your heart with us.
God bless you, John, and God bless you and all that you do. Have a wonderful day. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much. Father Mihailo Kuzma, the pastor of Immaculate Conception Ukrainian Byzantine Catholic Church in Palatine, Illinois, in suburban Chicago. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic attorney Mary Helen Fiorito is going to be with us to bring us up to speed on the upcoming vote on the Women's Health Protection Act. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air after this short timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, this coming Monday, February 28th, the U.S. Senate will vote on the Women's Health Protection Act. This deceptively named extreme bill would impose abortion on demand nationwide at any stage of pregnancy through a federal statute. This piece of legislation is even being called Abortion Until Birth Act by one pro-life group. Joining us now for much more and perspective on what this vote for the Women's Health Protection Act means is our regular contributor, Mary Helen Fiorito. Mary is an attorney, public speaker, and commentator on issues involving Catholic Church teachings, administration, and religious freedom. She holds a position of Cardinal Francis George Fellow at both the Ethics and Public Policy Center and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. I wish I had something more positive to talk about today, but I'm glad at least I can be with you to explain what's going to be going on in the Senate on Monday.
Absolutely. Can you explain to us exactly what's going to be going on and what is inside of this bill, the Women's Health Protection Act?
Right. So the bill that's called, as you noted, the Women's Health Protection Act, was passed by the House of Representatives and has now made its way over to the Senate, where it will be voted upon late Monday afternoon. And it's interesting, you know, as you know, it's a very deceptively named piece of legislation. What it really does is to go even beyond codifying Roe versus Wade in overturning every single protection that exists, not only for unborn children across the country, but also for doctors, for their ability to be able to refuse to do abortions, or nurses. It also impacts women's health, and that it keeps vital information from women about what the abortion procedure might do to them physically. But it's kind of amusing when, you know, they call it the Women's Health Protection Act, but then you go into the very first finding number one in this piece of legislation. And what the bill says is that abortion services are essential to health care and access to those services, to people's ability to participate equally in the economic and social life of the United States. And abortion allows people who are pregnant to make their own decisions about their pregnancies. So there is a concerted effort right now in the Democratic Party lexicon not to mention the word woman when we're talking about pregnancy. They talk, as you note, it's very specific, pregnant people. and people
it's
who can
ridiculous.
Become pregnant.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Exactly. That's because, as you know, a lot of the abortion industry, you know, talking points now say that, you know, men can become pregnant too, because we have to include transgender men in these conversations that we're having about pregnant people. So it's very interesting. They call it the Women's Health Protection Act, and then immediately within the first fighting contradict themselves, and they can't even themselves understand, you know, their own language and how much they're trying to distort it. But as you noted, this is a really dangerous piece of legislation. It would create pretty much an absolute federal statutory right to abortion, and it would invalidate every state law that protects unborn children, as well as those laws that provide for informed consent, so making sure that women know exactly what happens during the abortion, what the possible risks and side effects are to that particular surgical procedure, and it jeopardizes the health and safety of mothers because of that. It also jeopardizes the conscience rights of medical professionals like doctors and nurses who don't currently have to perform abortions if they don't want to. It would force them into doing it. So this is really so far beyond what the American people want in terms of abortion law. What poll after poll after poll, no matter who takes it, shows us is that Americans generally, while they don't want abortion completely illegal, which is still problematic, they don't want it for pretty much any reason past the 12th week of pregnancy. And that's almost, you know, only a fraction of what Roe versus Wade allowed, which is abortion up until the moment of birth. And this would permit things like sex selection abortions, which are most often done on baby girls for the only reason that they're baby girls. And you see how in countries like China, where sex selection abortions have so skewed the male to female ratio, that men have to go abroad to find brides if they want to get married. We don't want this kind of, you know, extremism here in this country. The country is finally moving towards a place of consensus with abortion. Again, the polling is really consistent pretty much across the United States, even for people who self-describe as pro-choice. And so for the Democratic Party to attempt to pass a bill that so radicalizes abortion, ignores the will of the American people, ignores common sense, and ignores science, it just baffles me that they would be, at a time when there's so much else going on in this world that really needs our attention, that they would be pushing so hard on this particular piece of legislation.
Mary, how would this affect the 230-plus state legislations that have been passed, these pro-life laws that have been passed in this year alone, according to the Guttmacher Institute? Would this wipe them all out?
It would, yeah, for the most part, it would. It would invalidate any state law. It would tell states, the federal government would be telling states, listen, you cannot at any time in pregnancy for pregnant women or pregnant people, depending on what they, you know, the way they want to qualify it, you cannot in any way, shape or form restrict abortion, restrict access to abortion. You cannot force people to receive information about abortion. It just takes every single law that has been passed and essentially invalidates it. So it's really sweeping. Again, it goes against, you know, the consensus that has been arrived upon in state legislature after state legislature. I mean, when these bills are passed, you know, I know you have some familiarity with this at the state level. There are hearings, experts are called, you know, local officials who have been voted into office by the people, you know, vote according to the wishes of their constituents. So there is a lot of input from the medical community, from others who are concerned in the community, from women's groups. All have a say in how these state laws are formed and how they're passed. And then to simply, for the federal government to come in and say, sorry, people of the United States, your views don't matter, your interests don't matter, your expertise in terms of things like fetal pain don't matter, you know, that is really overstepping on the part of the federal government to say to the American people, we know better than you, and we're going to force these laws on everybody in your states. And all it does, it really just, John, it benefits the abortion industry. It allows them to operate unchecked. Most of the abortion clinics in the United States are for-profit entities, and even Planned Parenthood, who, you know, calls itself nonprofit, really just uses that. That's a tax, you know, a tax-exempt status. That's not a business model for them. They make money from abortions. And so we are essentially empowering private businesses to make even more money by making sure that the government never regulates them, either state or federal, in any way, shape, or form.
Mary, this act is not expected to pass, but it's still historic in and of itself because this is the first time that the Senate would be voting on standalone legislation to enshrine this so-called right to abortion into federal law. The question in my mind is it even constitutional?
Yeah, it seems to me it would not be because modest restrictions on abortion, for example, the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, which came after Roe in the early 90s, that allowed individual states to have things like parental involvement with abortion. So currently, in most states in the country, if a minor girl is going to have irreversible surgery performed on her, the abortionist or the abortion clinic is required to notify those parents or, in some cases, obtain the consent of those parents. And this type of law would completely be swept off the books. It's been held constitutional in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision. And it would say that, no, you can't have what the Supreme Court has already said is constitutional and has been functioning very well in a majority of states. And, you know, for example, the parental consent and notification laws are very popular among the American people. They do not see that as a restriction on a woman's, you know, decision to have an abortion or to end her pregnancy. So these laws are constitutional, and it seems to me that what the Democrats at the federal level are trying to do is to say to the Supreme Court, listen, we don't care how you rule. We're going to overturn this with federal legislation that, of course, I'm sure would be challenged and probably tied up in courts for years to come. But why waste everyone's time and resources when we're focused right now on laws that bring about consensus? That's what is the most frustrating thing to me about this. Why do they keep going back to try to invalidate laws that the vast majority of Americans want, that are very popular, especially laws that involve parental involvement and parental consent? Why would they want to be doing this at this time? It's very interesting. They must know and realize that the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe versus Wade when the Dobbs decision is handed down in June. And so what they, in my mind, are trying to do is to kind of whip up fear and anxiety among the American people, making them, conjuring up these false images of women having to have illegal abortions. None of that is going to happen. But that's what they want people to think, because they want there to be pushback against the court's decision in June.
What can we do as people of faith and pro-lifers to prevent this Women's Health Protection Act, H.R. 3755, to pass? What can we do to reject this bill and send a message to Washington?
Right. Well, as you have noted, it doesn't have a very strong chance of passing the Senate. However, people should make sure that their senators know how they feel about this bill. Now, in some states, like, for example, where you and I live, John, in Illinois, it's going to be kind of a fruitless task because both of our senators are so committed to abortion on demand without any exceptions. However, it's always important for constituents to at least make those phone calls, say, I know you're not going to, I'll get some form letter back from you, but at least you've done your civic duty in making sure that your voice has been heard. But also, I think even more important than that right now, since we're fairly confident the bill is not going to pass, is to make sure that you're really educated about this bill. If you go to the website of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and go to their pro-life tab, there's a whole analysis of the bill on there and very, very simple talking points that, you know, it's written for non-lawyers, very easy to understand. So I would just ask that people, you know, educate yourself kind of minimally on this bill. So if it comes up around the dinner table after the vote on Monday or maybe Tuesday morning around the water cooler, that you're equipped to respond to someone who might see this bill as actually something that protects women's health. And just finally, I would really want to reemphasize that women don't need abortion to be equal. I mean, you look at the strides women have made in terms of our equality in education and in government and in every other field where women want to be successful. Abortion is not necessary for women to succeed and for women to accomplish their dreams. We know that. We know it empirically, and we also know it, you know, anecdotally. And just make sure that your daughters, that anyone you know who is a woman, doesn't feel that she needs abortion in order to be empowered in the United States.
Well, Mary, as always, a fabulous breakdown. I appreciate your analysis and your legal and Catholic pro-life perspective. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a wonderful weekend, John, and a happy weekend to your listeners.
Thank you, Mary. Mary Helen Fiorito, you can find her on Twitter, at Mary Fiorito. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Catholic Church in suburban Chicago, will join us to talk about taking shortcuts in the spiritual life as we get ready to enter Lent. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air after this.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Now, can you believe that Lent is right around the corner? Ash Wednesday is coming up next week on March 2nd. Here at Relevant Radio, you can take your Lent to the next level with Father Rocky's Lenten Lessons on the Mass. They're free to you every single day. Because you loved last year's in-depth walkthrough of the Mass, we produced even more new exclusive video content every day to enrich your passion for the Holy Mass. This super duper, as Father Rocky likes to call it, premium edition video series goes even deeper behind the scenes from the moment you enter a chapel to the very final blessing. From Ash Wednesday to Easter morning, illuminate your Lent with daily insights that you can only find right in your inbox. Sign up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent and get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about sin, which is not exactly the most popular of topics. Back in 1946, Pope Pius XII spoke these prophetic words to the United States in a radio message. He said, quote, "Perhaps the greatest sin in the world today is that men have begun to lose the sense of sin." Have you ever struggled? Have you been struggling to overcome a particular sin? Do you ever take shortcuts in your spiritual life? Well, joining us this morning for much more on this is Father James Wallace to tell us all about the grace of God and how we can win our moral battle during Lent. Father James is the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Catholic Parish in Park Ridge, Illinois, suburban Chicago, right across the street from our Chicago Relevant Radio studios. He serves as a canon lawyer for the Archdiocese of Chicago, a dean in Vicariate 2, and also professor of canon law and spiritual director at Mundelein Seminary. Good morning, Father James. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you. Thanks for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me back.
Father James, what's your take on Pope Pius's famous words about losing the sense of sin? Do you think that we here in the 21st century, in a way, have lost our sense of sin?
Oh, man, that is an interesting question. Yes and no. I think we're surrounded by sin all the time. We're aware that our world has fallen. I think people are struggling as much as they ever have. Now, what do they do with that is another question. So when you asked, how do we fight this war against sin? I know we're talking about fighting wars a lot these days now, but prayer, as you could probably guess I was going to say, prayer is the answer. Obviously going to confession, receiving all the sacraments, which entail some forgiveness of sin in one way or the other, but really, really praying with your sin. And I think that's what I was talking about with the shortcut is trying to not actually enter into the sin through prayer and just hoping it's going to go away, hoping the problems are going to be solved either by whatever time or some magic formula.
Father James, let's talk about some of what you would consider shortcuts in the spiritual or the moral life. How would you describe some of these shortcuts?
Well, okay, so first shortcut is not acknowledging or not being aware specifically of a sinful behavior or a sinful attitude, a thought. So we experience something in our day, and there's heaviness, and we kind of see it there. We can feel it, but we don't really do anything with it. So the shortcut is just either ignoring it or kind of generally recognizing it, and then maybe just going to confession, thinking, okay, that's it. That's enough. I'm done and over with it. Versus stopping and each day obviously being called to pray, but when we're praying, doing the examination of conscience also as well, and thinking, recognizing what were those sinful actions or thoughts that I had, and then bringing that to the Lord and really entering into that. Okay, why am I doing this? What's going on? Lord, can you help me? I'm blind here. Show me the way. Give me your grace. And then sit with that and maybe let the Lord show you what it is you're looking for. Why are you yearning for something and then trying to satisfy it in an unholy or an immoral way?
Father James, on Fridays, I always remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And really, our Lord wants our hearts all the time, but especially something to really work on here during Lent. Can you talk about that relationship between the Sacred Heart of Jesus and our own heart? Because if we're really seeking the Lord with all of our heart, we're going to try to not do shortcuts, to do the bare-bone minimum.
Yeah, really good. Sacred Heart. Obviously, it's a devotion, but it's crucial for all the sacraments. So I mentioned all the sacraments in some way. They both, I like to say, they configure us to Christ, and they cleanse us. They cleanse us from sin. You know, we have the penitential rite at Mass, obviously confession, even anointing the sick forgives sin in some way. The sacraments work through the humanity of Christ. And principally through the Sacred Heart. So it's the humanity of Christ that actually is the principal actor for the sacraments. So I'm getting a little technical here. And then the humanity of Christ from which the grace flows goes through the priest, the minister, to the recipient. And especially the humanity of Christ on the cross. And so the Sacred Heart of Christ is most on display or exposed when he's on the cross in Calvary, and that obviously extends throughout time as it reaches up to eternity and then back down to us. And so Christ's Sacred Heart, loving the Father and loving each one of us, past, present, and future, and making that offering of himself on the cross for the salvation of the world and forgiveness of our sins, that is on display, especially when we're talking about sin. So if we can unite our sins and our suffering to the Lord's Sacred Heart on the cross, well, then we're opening our heart as well to receive that healing and mercy and forgiveness.
Father James, you serve as a spiritual director at Mundelein for the seminarians, and obviously you give spiritual direction to us regular Catholics. Can you give us some practical advice on how we can improve, how we can work on this Lent to win the spiritual battle of our soul?
Okay, so commitment to prayer each day, obviously, like I was saying. Make it, and maybe I've said this before on the show, John, but a non-negotiable part of our day. You think about all the non-negotiables we have if we were to make a list: eating, sleeping, exercise, going, doing our job, errands around the house, whatever it is. Prayer has to be that. It's our lifeline, and not just for our own, you know, well-being, but it's our loving relationship with the Lord. So that's the first thing. If someone doesn't have a regular committed time for prayer, I would start with that. And if it's like, well, I don't have time, well, that's when we look at, okay, what can we cut out of our day? And that's perfect with Lent. Okay, you're spending too much time on social media? Well, cut that out. Watching TV, you have your regular show at night? Well, can you eliminate that so you can have time for prayer? You won't ever go wrong cutting one of those worldly things out, and you'll always benefit by making time for prayer. So that's the first thing, time for prayer. And then from that, you can discern throughout your prayer what else maybe the Lord is calling you to do. Stations of the Cross every Friday, maybe. Daily Mass, or at least daily Mass a couple times a week. Maybe a rosary, decade of the rosary. Offer a decade of the rosary for a different person each day, whatever it might be. Call someone who, you know, make a point to call each week. So I know a woman was telling me she does that. Each week she calls someone she hasn't talked to in a while. But let it come from the Lord. If it's our own endeavor, it's going to be like the Tower of Babel. It's going to come crashing down. But if it's the Lord's will, and we can listen to the Lord's will when we're praying, then it'll bear fruit.
I remember the words of my hero, St. John Paul II, who said right before he died, it's not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. How can we gently share our love and our dedication for our Lord and for our Catholic faith here during Lent without imposing it on our friends or family members?
Yeah, it's really good. I love that. You know, I was just reading Thomas Aquinas, and it's the classic line. He says, "We, especially when it comes to preaching and teaching, contemplatio alis tradere, we hand on what we contemplate." But the rest of the quote is, Aquinas says, just as it is better to enlighten than just to glow, it is better to hand on what we contemplate than just to contemplate. So just as it is better to enlighten than just to glow, it is better to hand on what we contemplate than just to contemplate. So it starts with contemplation, loving, praying God. But God is so generous, he pours himself out constantly, that when we pray, we want to not just have that relationship between us and the Lord, we want to pour that out to others as well. It's nice to have a light shining, but we want to enlighten others. It's nice to be in union with God, but we want to invite others into that union with God because we know how much it means to us and how much it saved us. Well, it's going to do the same for others, especially people who are suffering in our world. So that's the first thing. It's hard to hand on something, or especially contemplation, if we ourselves aren't praying and contemplating.
Absolutely. And Father James, in the minute that we have left, a word of encouragement, especially for somebody that might feel a little discouraged here. They feel like they're lost. They're just not trusting the Lord as much. What would you say to somebody listening, a word of encouragement here as we get ready to enter Lent next week?
Yeah, what does Jesus say? You know, have no fear. I've conquered the world. There's always going to be suffering, and not to diminish or play down pain and suffering. But in a way, suffering and pain, it's an opportunity for union with the Lord. It's not a curse, but it can become a blessing. Not that God is causing evil in the world, obviously, but when we're struggling, whatever it might be, something internally or externally, we can either try to plow through it ourselves and figure it out, which isn't going to turn out well, or we can stop and reach out to God and kind of lift our suffering heart up to the Lord. And that's an opportunity then for union with God. And that's what it's all about, union with the Lord. So suffering is an opportunity for union with God.
Absolutely. We'll have to leave it right there. Father James, as always, thank you so much for being with us. Really appreciate your spiritual perspective.
Thanks, John. God bless you, everyone. Have a blessed and prayerful Lent.
Absolutely. We'll see you in Mass. Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul of the Cross Catholic Parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Flying Above the Storm. Did you know that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it breaks? The eagle will fly to some high spot and wait for the winds to come. When the storm hits, it sets its wings, so the wind will pick it up and lift it high above the storm. While the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring high above it, gliding with ease. The eagle does not escape the storm. It just simply uses the storm to lift it higher. It rises on the winds that bring the storm into its world. When the storms of life come upon us, and all of us will experience them, we can rise above them by setting our minds and faith toward God. The storms do not have to overcome us. We can allow God to lift us above them. God enables us to ride the winds of the storm that bring sickness, pain, tragedy, failure, and disappointments in our lives, and make something good come from it. We can soar above the storm. Remember, it's not the burdens of life which weigh us down, but how we handle them that counts. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I love that verse. Let's continue to pray for peace, especially in Ukraine with Russia. Let's invoke the Mother of God. Pray the Rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central tonight. And pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Berg, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, our entire team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. In the words of St. John Paul II, be not afraid, open wide the doors for Christ. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.